Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, set on a hill, and someday I'll be in heaven, and they'll...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also heard on the Rapture Ready Radio Network, which is the network of our sister Jackie Alnor. And also, we want to give a big shout out to our listeners in South Africa, Great Britain, Australia, United Kingdom, and the USA, of course, and all the other listeners around the world. Thank you for tuning in and for listening and for getting the word out about our program. Also, we have a website, propheticnews.com. A YouTube channel. It's under my name, Susan Puzio, and we also have my book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. And they do. They do. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about some of them today because, yeah, it's the most wonderful time of the year for the atonement offering scammers, and they're all out in full force because the Bible says that whatever is not of faith is sin. So these so-called preachers of the gospel, they can't live by faith. They have to make up different ways of conning people out of their money. And then they even have the audacity to use the word of God to do it, which is even worse. But every year at this time, you'll hear of Rod Parsley and Paula White and Marcus and Joni Lamb, and you'll hear Steve Muncy and Wayne T. Jackson. Remember Wayne, a few years ago, there was a big scandal about Wayne T. Jackson because he would ordain men, and when he would ordain men, he would lay on top of these men. You could see the videos. I think the videos might still be up on YouTube. Wayne T. Jackson of the Impact Network. But it was a little odd. It was actually very odd. Why in the world would a grown man with a wife sitting there in the front row, why would a grown man lay down on the floor on his stomach? And then, I mean, why would you want to lay on the floor anyway? Yuck. But anyway, they lay on the floor and then they put a blanket over the guy who's laying on his stomach on the floor. And then Wayne jumps on top of them. And it's supposed to be like the transference, I don't know of what, but I would say that it is very, very odd, and there was a big uproar about it, but Wayne T., he couldn't really understand why people were so upset. Well, it was very, very strange, and why would grown men allow somebody to do that to them? Because it's ridiculous. Jesus Christ is the anointed one. We serve Jesus Christ. And so what can any man give us? They can't give us anything. We're all, like I say, a bunch of flesh going somewhere to happen. So nobody has any kind of a special anointing that they can give you, because Jesus Christ is the anointed one, and we serve him. We don't look to man to give us what we need for ministry, because it, after all, really, the ministry does belong to Jesus. He just lets us use his Bible. He lets us use his word. And he lets us preach his word, as flawed as we are, but it doesn't make us anything special. Although these people, they want you to think that they're special and that you can get some kind of anointing from them. Also, they say that if you give this Day of Atonement offering, that you also can get an anointing. Well, that's not true. That's not true. Let's look at a few scriptures anyway. We can look at a few scriptures and we could see what the Word of God says, because that doesn't sound right, does it? I mean, anyway, why would we want to look to human beings for the answers? Because the human beings can't give you answers for what you need. Only Jesus Christ can give you the answers for what you need. And when these people are trying to get offerings from you, or they're trying to tell you that God has these special days, and on these special days you get special things from God if you send them money. Well, they tell you you're giving the money to God, and you have to have this offering, and God sees your offering, and then he's going to do all these for you. But it's not true. It's not true, really. God, in his infinite wisdom and in his mercy, he gives us what we need, and he also gives us what we can handle. He's not going to give us something that's going to wreck our life. So it doesn't matter how much money you give away. That doesn't mean he's going to pay you back in kind, or he's going to pay you back 100-fold or 30-fold or 50-fold or whatever they tell you, because it's only God, who is a father, who will decide how much he's going to give you, how much you can handle. Most people can't handle too much when it comes to money. When it comes to money, wow, the Bible's so true, isn't it? When the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil, you better give me that money or else. You know, they come at you with a gun, stick them up, give me your money. Or thieves come and they want to rob your house. And it's a strange thing. It would be a wonderful world, though, right, if people could be satisfied with what they had, and to walk by faith every day, to take one day at a time, to get up every day and just trust the Lord for whatever we need, and to be content where we are. It would solve a lot of crime, wouldn't it, if people didn't covet. And they didn't say, wow, they've got something that I want, and since I can't have it, I think I'll just take it. And that's really the attitude with these so-called preachers. They like to call themselves preachers of the gospel, but they preach a gospel of greed, because they never have enough. They can't be satisfied with what they have. They always have to come up with some kind of a scam to get you to send them money, which they say you're sending to God, or you're honoring God or whatever. Well, we honor God with our lives. We don't honor God by sending money to some preacher, you know. 1 John 2:27 says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him." 1 John 2:20, "But ye have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Leviticus 8:12, and he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. Second Corinthians 1:21, now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. So the anointing comes from God. It doesn't come from Paula White or Rod Parsley or like, who would want what they have anyway? I wouldn't want that con man or con woman anointing. Like, who would want it? It's like, yuck. I can't believe that people are still falling for it, but they're still falling for it, because obviously if people weren't falling for it, they wouldn't be doing it. They would have quit a long time ago if it didn't work, but it works. So every year they bring it back, and it's really basically the same old story, though. They don't change story. But I'm going to play a few of these clips for you, and then we'll go over some of the things that they're talking about, because some of the things that they talk about, it's just ridiculous. But, you know, they count on you not reading your Bible. So if you don't read your Bible, they know that they can con you, because it's like Paula, she takes this scripture. I think it was Deuteronomy. She took the scripture. She takes the scripture totally out of context. And we'll let Paula talk here for now, and then we'll tear it apart, okay?
Important ones, at least to me, that I can discern biblically, is that God is saying, these are vital, important, holy days to me that I want you to honor. And he says, I want you to bring to me a seed of sacrifice. So whatever that is, and God doesn't tell you what to give, because he said, give it. In Deuteronomy 16:16-17, he says, three times a year shall you come in. It's talking about the feast season. And you give that seed of sacrifice, or that offering, that atonement offering, in accordance as God has blessed you. So let's say you make $10,000 a year, or let's say you make $1 million a year. I can't sit here and say, you have to give $72, or you have to give $10,000, because it's as God has blessed you. You know the blessing of the Lord. And I want you to look at your life and just say, where do I put my value? Do I get things, homes, cars, shoes, vacations, hair done, nails done, whatever it is, more than I give to honor God? Do I celebrate people? Do I give my husband or my wife a bigger anniversary gift or a nicer birthday present or whatever's important to you than I celebrate God? And I want you to connect. I want to give you this opportunity right now to honor God and to bring to him the gift that he deserves, the gift that you just say, God, I love you. And I'm going to come back and show you the blessing that's connected to that. So call the toll-free number right now. I want you, Day of Atonement offering. And there's tremendous blessing connected to that, because you cannot do anything by faith and in obedience that you honor the Lord, that his hand and blessing does not come back upon you. So as you do that, or write the P.O. box, or go to the website, and you sow that Day of Atonement offering, there's tremendous blessing. My announcer will tell you more about what I want to get to you, to explain to you, and so you'll have a clear understanding of the importance of honoring God. God bless you for your giving. We'll be right back.
There is a revelation sound to our covenant with God that will bring you the power you need to overcome. out. It is one of the most important commandments from God in all the Bible. It is His most holy day, the Day of Atonement. God commanded His people to honor these holy days forever as an everlasting covenant with Him. Leviticus 23, Deuteronomy 16 says, "No one shall appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able." We must honor God as instructed with a sacrificial offering. This is your opportunity to receive 8 specific promises from God. Increase, revelation, fresh anointing, God's power, restoration, financial abundance, no shame but deliverance, and God's presence. Call, write, or go online right now and give your very best atonement offering. When you do, we will rush to you a special CD teaching on atonement. When you send in your best atonement offering of $50 or more today, we will send you Paula's Atonement Study Guide at One with God, Breaking the Cycle, as well as her 2-message series. For your best atonement offering of $118 or more, in addition to the series and the study guide, we'll also rush to you a beautiful custom engraved leather bracelet with Isaiah 1:18 in English and Hebrew. So $118, declaring Isaiah 1:18 over your household. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Some sow a week's pay, others plan a specific amount, but we all give our best. Do not miss this opportunity. Give your very best atonement offering today for God's most holy.
Don't miss your opportunity. Oh, please. Oh. Yeah, some give 1 week's pay. Yeah, some give 1 week's pay. What, are you kidding me? I'm not working a whole week for Paula White, that's for sure. Give me a break. Anyway, I hear some of the things now Paula promises you. She says that God says that if you'll honor Him on His most holy day, He gives you 8 promises. He gives you fresh anointing. Now, what's that? What's fresh anointing? I didn't know that I had to give money to get fresh anointing. Oh, He gives you increase, no shame. I thought Jesus already took my shame. I thought He already did that. I didn't know that I had to give Paula White some money to get no shame. Yeah, no shame. Also, you can get God's presence. God's presence you get when you send an atonement offering. I thought that God said, "I am with you always." I thought He already said that. I didn't think that I had to give Him any money to do that. We can get God's power. We can get God's power from remembering Him on His most holy day. Yeah, even though the Bible says that I changed not, so I guess God's power is here all the time. I didn't know that He, like, His power went in and out, you know, and so you have to remember that at certain times of the year, you have to send offerings into preachers, and then you get God's power. Also, you get financial abundance. Yeah, financial abundance, but it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And kind of like playing the lottery, you go, you put $10, or you're playing bingo, you put $10 on number 10, and then you just hope that you're going to win something. But it doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. God said, "You ask not, you have not because you ask not." So if we need something from God, or we ask, we don't have to, we give money to each other. We give money to each other to bless each other. And that's what giving is. Giving is an act of love. We give money to each other because God obviously doesn't need any money. He doesn't have any money in heaven. So we don't give it to God. He doesn't need it. He owns it all. And it's not honoring God either by observing a day that we don't even have to observe, because we have already been redeemed. Jesus Christ was our atonement. He paid for us. He already paid, because the word atone means to make compensation. And He already made compensation for us. So we don't have to keep making compensation. It's already been done. So there's no special day of the year that we celebrate the Day of Atonement and then we bring offerings to preachers. every day is a day of atonement for a Christian, because we remember how Jesus Christ saved us from a life of sin. He saved us from the pit of hell. He saved us and redeemed us. He redeemed us from every curse. And so I don't have to, you know, pay him off several times a year to remind him that he already did it. It's just foolishness. It's really foolishness. But let me read. Paula, she likes to talk about this. Deuteronomy 16. But this is what a Bible moron this woman is, because she likes to misquote scripture and misrepresent what scripture says. But here's what it says. 3 times in a year shall all males, and first of all, it says all males, it doesn't say anything about females, appear before the Lord thy God in the place where he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes, and shall judge the people with just judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. She missed verse 19 there. She missed verse 19. It says, thou shalt not take a gift. So don't send any gifts to Paula White. Don't send any gifts to Rod Parsley. Don't send any gifts to Steve Munsey or any of them. They forgot verse 19. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Also, it says here that they gave this. She's telling you that you have to sow a seed, or basically you have to honor God by giving a gift. This was a burnt offering. This was was something that was done by fire. So does Paula want people to come over there to New Destiny Christian Center and bring a lamb there, and they make their offering by fire? Yeah. They made this offering by fire. So I don't think that she wants people to burn their money. I don't think that she wants them to do that. No, I don't think so. So, Paula, your interpretation of Deuteronomy 16 is lacking. I don't know if you have a reading problem. I don't know. Do you have a reading problem? Can't you read? Can't you read? I don't think you can read. Or I think when you read, you count on the fact that you can read one verse or half a verse or something, and then you build a whole doctrine around it, because you say that you have books and you have CDs and everything, that you actually have whole teachings on this subject. It's crazy. It's just crazy. Anyway, read it for yourself. That's Deuteronomy chapter 16, because there's no such thing as New Testament Christians celebrating the 10 days of awe, and then we can't stand before the Lord empty-handed. And obviously, these people stand before the Lord empty-headed, is what I like to say. They stand before the Lord empty-headed, because the only thing that they have in their mind is money. And how can I get more money from gullible, desperate people? Because most people in their everyday lives, we need things from God. Yeah, we need things from God. We need a lot of things from God, especially when we're living in this wicked world. And so they count on the fact that people are desperate, and they take advantage of their desperation by telling them that if they send an offering, they can get those 8 blessings from God, which the blessings already belong to us. The blessings already belong to us because we're children of God. But you can't promise anybody that they're going to go through life without some tribulation. You can't promise anybody that they're not going to go through life with some sorrow. You just can't do it. It's not biblical. Jesus said himself that in this world you're going to have tribulation, but who likes it? Nobody likes it. No, nobody likes it. No. Nobody wants to go through tribulation, but these people count on the fact that they can tell you that you can honor God by bringing an offering on these most holy days. And she says, oh, God's a God of patterns, and he works in seasons. And, you know, God is God. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. He doesn't have any pattern. He doesn't say, well, today is Friday and today is the Day of Atonement. Today is Passover. So today I do something different. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. He's a sovereign God. They always like to talk about putting God in a box, but they're famous for putting God in a box. They're famous for it. Anyway, here's part 2 of Paula's teaching.
Your very best atonement offering today for God's most holy season.
The Day of Atonement this year is where prayer and righteousness and faith are emphasized through supernatural cleansing to mark the most holy day to God. Now, in the Old Testament, like I said, there was only a type and shadow. We know, according to the New Testament, specifically the book of Hebrews, that what could not be fulfilled under the Old Testament was fulfilled once and for all by our high priest, Jesus Christ, who became our atonement. He became the Passover lamb. He fulfilled the covenant, or he fulfilled the feast, and through his blood, and through the supreme sacrifice that he made, he left us with better promises that we're now heir to. So you have Rosh Hashanah, blowing the trumpets, then you've got 10 days of all, then you've got the Day of Atonement, and 5 days after, you enter into Feast of Tabernacles, and that is harvest, fruit, and outpouring. So what happened on the Day of Atonement, 5 days later, which it happens to be a number of grace, then you enter into basically party time. And I love that God is a God of celebration. It's saying, hey, the signal has been sent for the fruit, the harvest, the outpouring of God's Spirit to come. So God has an appointed time for his promise to come to pass in your life. And he instructs in Deuteronomy 16:16 and 17, which I said, 3 times a year you appear before the Lord in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And do not appear before the Lord empty-handed or empty. Verse 17, every man shall give as he's able according to the blessing of the Lord, thy God, which he's given thee. So on these divine appointments, we meet with God, we bring him an offering, we set ourselves apart for his purposes. And then what begins to happen? By honoring and giving distinctiveness to these divine appointments, we focus our minds, we focus our hearts, and thereby we foster a realization for the spiritual opportunities that are afforded to us. So God calls us to submit ourselves entirely to the contemplations and the inner realization of those ideals that lay at the foundation of our faith, of who we are. During these divine appointments, there are times that basically God's going, hey, stop, stop, I want you to pay attention. So again, I'm going to emphasize to you, it's not legalism. It's liberty with an opportunity. They're his appointments. Just like I have a birthday. It's April 20th. It's important to me that that day doesn't just go by. But that the people that love me celebrate my gift of life. That the people that want to honor me or say, Paula, you've meant a lot in my life. They go, hey, we recognize this day as special your purpose as a person. So these are God's holy appointments. These are God's days. And as his appointments, they call us from our everyday life, our everyday cycles to kind of halt, stop what we're doing, dedicate ourselves solely to Him, to spiritual activities, to recognize that we are a spirit being who's been given this wonderful, amazing covenant by a loving God that has given us better promises because of the blood of Jesus. And God knew that life had this way of cluttering us, that we needed a time for clearing, that there were days that He said, stop, pay attention. They interrupt the ordinary occurrences of activities in our life, and they give us, by His Spirit, by power, a consecration for the future that God has set before us. And how do they do that? Number one, they revivify the ideas by which our whole life is based upon, which bring us back to the core, which is Jesus Christ and the blood covenant that He made for us. He became our supreme sacrifice, and He didn't just atone or cover for our sins. The Bible goes on and on. We'll teach it completely. I bring books about it, taught a bunch of tapes about it. There's so much teaching on it. He didn't just cover. He did away with our sins. Thank God He became sin that we could become righteous. And two, it eradicates the bad consequences of past activity that are deadly to the body, the spirit, the soul. Therefore, they restore us by giving us hope and blessing. So they're expressions of our worship. They're eternal, according to Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, to be kept forever. He says, so this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast, a divine appointment to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast or divine appointment by an everlasting ordinance. So the feasts of Israel were built on the foundation of God's blood covenant that He was making with mankind. They were physical rituals to help the people understand and align with spiritual truth, with spiritual understanding. We know we're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're not required to follow the ancient blood sacrifices for our sins to be atoned, according to James chapter 2. However, and this is your big however, like the early church of the New Testament, as believers, we must recognize God's appointment that He set is an opportunity. Are you getting this word down? Because somebody's going to say, oh, Paul is bringing this back on the wall. Paul's not doing anything but giving you teaching through God's word, and through God's word giving you an opportunity to honor Him for what He has done in our life. That is to appropriate their respective meanings and to celebrate who He is, what He's done, and what He's going to do. Which in turn, when you...
She's like a good used car salesman. That's what I think. Well, oh boy, she's really trying to convince you. You know, well, the amazing thing is, she keeps saying, now she's saying that she's got, well, she's got books she wrote and she's got tapes on the atonement. She doesn't know anything about it. She doesn't know anything about it. Or maybe she knows. And that, but she has to figure, she figures out these ways that she could get you to send money to her. Obviously, she doesn't teach. Maybe she does know what the atonement is, and she doesn't act it, because Paula White's not saved. No, I mean, saved people don't do that. Saved people, yeah, saved people can do things that they're not supposed to do. Yeah, we can sin. We can do things we're not supposed to do. But preachers, so-called preachers of the gospel now, you read God's word. You have the Holy Spirit to convict you that if you're teaching God's word, especially, the Holy Spirit will convict you when you're in error. He will convict you. And if you're not being convicted, then something's wrong. You're not saved because you don't have the Holy Spirit convicting you. And this woman has been doing this for years. This is not a new teaching that she has. She's been doing this for years. When they had their church in Tampa, she used to tell people to give a whole month's salary, never mind a week. Every January, her and her ex-husband, Randy, would tell people to bring in a day's salary, a week's salary, or even a month. Now, could you imagine working a whole month for Randy and Paula White, who blew over $30 million. Much more than that. There was probably much more than that that came in during their heyday. And they blew it. They wound up in bankruptcy. Obviously, it didn't work for them. The two churches that they built, or the buildings were already there, but they built the congregations, but they managed to clean them out pretty much in the end too. But the two buildings, the one in Tampa and Lakeland, were bankrupt. They were bulldozed. They were sold. One was sold at a foreclosure auction. The other one was in foreclosure, but it sold to someone before the auction. And now it's been bulldozed, and there's apartment buildings there. And also, I think the one in Lakeland, I think they built some senior apartments there. It was a 10,000-seat sanctuary that they had that was an Assembly of God church at one time. But that's how they wound up. That's how they wound up. They wound up divorced. They wound up, supposedly, Randy, he was arrested for drunk driving in the city of Tampa. Paula says that she wound up on Prozac, and Randy supposedly wound up on drugs, had to go to rehab. So what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? What did it profit them to expound on these false teachings that they expounded on for many years? They didn't learn their lesson, because they're both right back at it. Even after all the chaos that went on in their life, you think sometimes God shakes up your life and to get you back on the straight and narrow. But it didn't do any good. It didn't do any good, because they went right back to scamming. Randy's back to scamming. He has a small church in Tampa and still scamming. And so is Paula. Still scamming. She marries Jonathan Kane Friga, who plays in the band Journey. And this is a man that's self-made. He made his own money in business and through writing music and playing the piano and whatever. No singing, forget it. No, don't sing. Please, John, don't sing. Anyway, he sits there while she teaches people this. You think that this guy, if he had any sense at all, that he would say to himself, that doesn't sound right, you know? Or like when Paula was telling people that they could send her money to get babies, if she wanted to get pregnant, she said, I think so, a $77 seed or something like that. So what husband in his right mind sits there and looks at his wife and listens to his wife, and his wife talks like that? Don't you think that the husband would say, now, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right? No, he doesn't do that. No. And a lot of the people that Paula associates with there at the White House, they don't do it either. They don't do it either. So there's too many Jezebels. There's too many Jezebels over there at the White House. And it's not good. Not good for President Trump to be around these Jezebels. But here's a couple of scriptures on atonement. 1 Peter 2:24, with his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, shall live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Leviticus 17:11, for life, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. 1 John 2:2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. If he's obtained eternal redemption for us, then there's no need for atonement offerings. So Hebrews 9:12 there, Paula. Okay, I don't know. Did you read that? I think she's got a reading problem. Revelation 5:9, and they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Hallelujah. We've already been redeemed. I don't have to prove, I don't have to go with some offering to honor God. I honor God with my life. I honor God with my integrity. That's how I honor God. And if they wanted to teach you about honoring God by giving offerings, they wouldn't tell you that you necessarily had to send it to them. They wouldn't tell you that. They would tell you to freely give as God instructs you to give, because God can tell you who to give to or who to help, or he's perfectly able to do that. And but they use the power of persuasion. They use hypnotism, the power of suggestion. They use all those things to manipulate people. And that's how they do it. But it's wrong. Jesus Christ already paid the atonement offering, and we don't have to make any atonement offerings. But anyway, here's Wayne T. Jackson, the and Wayne T. now owns this Impact Network, and it's such an embarrassment to look at these so-called Christian television networks, because they're all doing the same thing. They've all realized that they got the hustle. They all got the hustle down of how to get money by promising you riches and salvations and miracles and whatever else they promise you by sending them money. And most of them, most every network that you turn on, they're all doing it. Here's Wayne T.
Welcome back. You're watching the Miracles Do Happen telecast. I'm your host, Apostle Wayne T. Jackson, along with Prophet Fred Brain. We're here on the set letting you know that Jesus Christ is still Lord. He's still moving. His blessings are still flowing in the earth. And this, as we just left our last segment, is a time of what we call God's set time.
Yes.
God set times. And, you know, a lot of people who are in the Christian body of Christ don't even understand these days.
Right.
You have Jewish people all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
They're all over the world celebrating Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur,
yes,
and Tabernacle.
Yes.
These are spring feasts.
Yes.
And when you say feast, this is not a feast where you come and sit down and eat and have a whole bunch of, you know, fun.
Right.
These are set times that God set aside to meet his people in the earth and to bless them.
Yes.
And to cause them to celebrate or to consecrate, should I say, themselves, amen, for Yom Kippur.
Yes.
The Day of Atonement.
Amen.
They will afflict themselves. They will fast, amen, for 25 hours.
Wow.
They fast for 25 hours reading scripture.
Amen.
And this is something they do religiously.
Wow, that's powerful, sir.
And they do it religiously. And Prophet, we're here saying to the people that you want to be a part, listen to what I'm saying, of what God has called in the earth, because when you obey him, then the blessings will come into your life. Read 23:23 through verse 25, Leviticus, please.
The apostle reads, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation."
Now stop. Yeah, he said, blowing of what?
The trumpets.
And that trumpet, the shofar.
Yes.
The shofar, what it is that the shofar was, remember when Abraham was ready to offer Isaac?
Yes.
And what happened was, God told Abraham, he said, don't kill the boy.
Right.
He said he had a ram in the bush.
Yes.
And that ram had the horn.
Amen.
They took
off the horn of the ram and turned it into a shofar.
Powerful.
And that's where the victory comes from.
Praise God.
You see, so that shofar has victory to it.
Praise God.
The shofar has, he said, blow that shofar. It is, they blow it 100 blasts. 100 blasts. Even in my home, I have a CD of a shofar just playing, just blowing, because it's victory. The angels, they move in victory, move when the shofars are blown.
Praise
angels
God.
Activity when the shofars are blown. So he said, blow up the trumpets, right?
He does, sir. And he said, it's a holy convocation, sir. And he said, you shall do no several work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord.
Offer a what?
An offering, sir.
An offering. See, people talk about offerings, and they ask for another offering, and I'm tired of that preacher asking for offering. They ask for offering. Let me tell you this. When you give to God.
Yeah.
Don't you worry about the preacher. You give it to God, and God will bless you.
Amen.
Everybody else take offerings up. If you watch the news, or if you watch your favorite show, every time you see a commercial, they're taking an offering.
Right.
Because they want you to buy their product, and that company, what they do is pay that particular, whether it's CNN or whatever news media may be, they're getting paid through those commercials.
Amen.
And that's how they survive.
Yes.
But God's business must survive. And so get this special offering out today. And said, I want to do my Rosh Hashanah. I want to do my blowing of the trumpet offering now. And I want to send you out, those that will sold $50 or more, I'm going to give you this beautiful keychain from Israel, the man blowing the shofar keychain. I'll get that out to you for those who get 50 or more. Those that will do 150 or more, excuse me, as your seed offering, or your Rosh Hashanah offering, I'll get you out this beautiful prayer shofar prayer cloth. Prayer shawl. Forgive me, prayer shawl. It's beautiful. You see that man blowing the shofar? Praise God. On the prayer shawl. We'll get that out to you. And before I send that prayer shawl out to you, I'll pray over it and I'll place God's anointing upon it. In Jesus' name. And we'll get you also the mezuzah. As you can see on your screen, that mezuzah. You can have that shofar mezuzah and the keychain in Jesus' name. We just want to thank you for your giving. I'm on the phone right now from Texas. Tim, how are you today?
He's going to send you a keychain for $50. Oh, sure. I could go buy a keychain for $298. A keychain is going to give you for $50. Oh, dear. Oh, but he's going to pray over it. He will pray over it personally, and he's going to put, it's going to be anointed when you get it. No. It's like Amos said, it says here in Amos 5:21, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. It's a stench in the nostrils of God. It's a stench. Remember what happened to Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. They took neither of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire. They offered strange fire before the Lord. And that's what this is. It's strange fire, and it stinks in the nostrils of God. What did they say about Leviticus? Well, you notice that when he was reading that scripture in Leviticus, and he's saying, you're talking about don't stand before the Lord empty, and you have to bring this offering. And it's Leviticus 23. I'm going to get that because, of course, it said, of course, the word fire was in there. But then when and the guy that was reading the scripture, he did say fire, but if you notice that Wayne, he cut that word out because he didn't want people to know that it was a burnt offering, which we don't do anymore. We don't do burnt offerings anymore. It's ridiculous. But I mean, that's how they get you. That's how they just leave out one word and they build a whole teaching on something that is totally irrelevant, but people fall for it all the time. People fall for it. It says that if you look at Leviticus 23, it's talking about a meat offering. Let's see. It talks about taking a Sabbath day, a wave offering, seven Sabbaths. It says you're not supposed to work, but I notice that they don't stop working on these days. They're still hustling, still hustling. And let's see, it says that you shall sacrifice a goat for a sin offering. Well, we don't sacrifice goats anymore for sin offerings. We don't sacrifice lambs for peace offerings because the Prince of Peace lives inside of us. We already know the Prince of Peace. We don't have to make peace offerings. Like I said, it says don't work in verse 21. It says to blow the trumpet. But it also says that when you're blowing the trumpet, it's a Sabbath day, which they don't talk about that. They leave that part out. But verse 27 says that the day there shall, and on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you. And ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire. It's an offering made by fire. Why don't you bring those dollar bills in over there and bring a fire pit? See how they like it. Oh, dear. Honestly. The thing that's amazing, though, and it just never ceases to amaze me, is that people still fall for this stuff. Still fall for this stuff. Because they're all doing it. And it's expensive to be on television. It's not cheap. Not cheap at all to be even, I don't know what it costs now because I haven't checked, but I know at one time to be on TBN, it was something like $5,000 for a half hour, or, I don't know what these guys are getting now on these smaller networks, but it's very, very expensive. So they have to pay their television bills. And so for the most part, then they have to resort to this kind of con artist stuff that they do. And it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy, but I'm hoping that through good Bible teaching, that people will stop supporting these people, and some of them will have to go away eventually. If they don't get support, they'll have to go off television. It would be nice if there were some people on television that were actually preaching the real gospel, that were telling people the truth and teaching good, solid Bible principles and raising up, making disciples that the church could be proud of. I'm embarrassed. I feel embarrassed when I look at these people, and I think that a lost and dying world is turning on these channels, and they're looking at these people, and that's the impression that they get of Christianity, and it's so awful, really. It just brings such a reproach to the name of Jesus, but there's people out there that have a real love for God, and that want to teach people the truth, whether they get an offering or not. You don't have to run any kind of scams to preach the gospel. You just have to open your mouth. You know? Anybody can preach the gospel. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That means everybody can preach. And we're all called to the ministry of reconciliation, to reconcile people back to God, to tell people the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how God gives us, he gives us freely all things for the asking. That's how he does it. So, and it's much better to learn how to trust God, to learn how to trust Him for what we need. Because He said that He would not see the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. So we don't have to beg. We don't have to beg. Why are these people have turned to begging and turned to scamming people? Even if you listen closely to that, the last or the second Paula White teaching that I played for you on the atonement, she mentions a couple of very New Age terms in that teaching. She throws in there. So a lot of the things that she teaches really are basically out of the occult. They're not out of the Bible. It's not out of the Bible. I think there was a couple of news magazines and I think a couple of newspapers that picked up the story a few months ago about her and her scams, how she was asking people to send her a month's pay. But it doesn't stop her. You know, even when she's publicly humiliated in front of the whole nation, it doesn't stop her. She won't stop. Do you think that usually after somebody says something to you about something you're doing, if you're doing something wrong and they tell you that you're doing something wrong, most people would think about it. Some people get really angry if you tell them they're doing something wrong because they can't accept any kind of correction. So, but you would think that you would go home and you would contemplate it and you would think about it. And not her. No, not her. No, she goes right back to it, right back to making a fool out of herself. And, but you don't prosper when you take the gospel and you mishandle the gospel. You won't prosper. You won't have peace. You won't have joy. We're not to use the word of God, to teach the word of God deceitfully. And we have all kinds of warnings about that. So it's not worth it, really. It's much better to live with whatever God provides for us and to have peace and to have our integrity, to try to do the right thing, to try to be honest. It's a funny world, isn't it? Because even when we tell the truth, people don't think you're telling the truth anymore. They don't think you're telling the truth anymore because they hear so many lies. And most people are inclined to lie to protect themselves. And so when you tell people the truth, they don't even believe that you're telling them the truth. So it's like if you go to a court of law, say you're on trial, and you get up on the witness stand and you're telling them the truth, but they're not going to believe you. For the most part, they will not believe you unless you have evidence. So you have to have evidence to back up what you're saying. And we have evidence because we have the word of God. The word of God is our evidence about what the truth is. So if it's not in the word of God, then it's not true. It's not true. Let's play Rod Parsley here. Now, Rod Parsley, oh, he's going to spend the next 10 days. He's going to spend the next 10 days teaching on the 10 days of awe. And so here's Rod Parsley says, 7 blessings are coming your way. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is the holiest day of the entire Jewish calendar. This is the day when God says, it's time for your new beginning. God's word is clear, and Joel 2 promises that this is the season of 7 special blessings for you. And he says that he gives you little boxes you can check off. And it says, yes, Pastor Parsley, I want to obey the Lord on the Day of Atonement and experience the 7 special blessings, including the double portion. Including the double portion. Oh, please. And here's my atonement offering of $100, $200, $1,000, $50, my best gift, or I would like to submit my prayer request only. He promises a double portion. I mean, who can promise that? Nobody can promise that. It's ridiculous. And then he says that he's got, watch the Day of Atonement celebration. The Day of Atonement is a sacred day, a divine appointment between you and God when you meet before the Ark of the Covenant and honor him. I don't have to meet in front of the Ark of the Covenant. They can't even find the Ark of the Covenant anymore. And then he quotes, God gave very clear direction concerning the Day of Atonement in Leviticus 23, which I just read to you, that it was done by fire. It was done by fire, but they're going to have a 24-hour solemn devotion. Yeah, well, solemn devotion would be like getting on your knees, Rod Parsley, and repenting for lying and for mishandling the word of God. Yeah, if you're going to spend 24 hours praying, I would suggest that you repent of your false teachings. That might help. Anyway, here's Rod.
Right now, you must hear in this moment and hear in this season trust in the Lord your God. You sense the Holy Spirit right now. Trust that. Believe his prophets.
Thank you, Jesus.
A man anointed with a right now word for exactly where you are. Believe it. So shall you prosper. 300. There were 32,000 that lined up with Gideon. 10,000 were sent home. Don't get sent home today. They were sent home because they were fearful, cowardly. The fearful cannot strike any heavy blow in the day of battle because fear paralyzes the arm by unnerving the heart. Don't be fearful right now. I rebuke the spirit of fear from
you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
God's appointed year of jubilee is just days from right now when his free favors profusely abound. It's your appointed time for a new beginning. It's God's grand design for you and for your entire family. Now, I tell you all about it in my brand new book, God's End Time Calendar. Do you hear it? God's End Time Calendar. He has one. The prophetic meaning behind celestial events and seasons. In it, you learn that you've been painted like a target with the anointing that attracts the free favor of God. You learn how, regardless of what has held you back, held you in captivity, in bondage, in sickness, disease, peril, distress, regardless of what's held you back, it all has to give way to God's mighty delivering power. You learn a whole lot more. And I want to sow it into your life as you sow your very best atonement seed, as the Lord God commanded in his word. 3 times in a year, come before the Lord with a special offering. This is the third and final one of the year, the great day of atonement. As you sow your atonement seed of $50, I want to also send you my highly powerful, profound prophetic message on CD, God's Season, Your seven blessings. Now, in this tremendous message, I go into great, great detail about all seven of the blessings of the atonement. So, the book and the CD are vital resources you need today, not next week, not next month. And you ought to get a set for somebody you love very dearly. Now, some of you, I believe, are being led by the Holy Spirit during this most significant day of atonement to occur for 500 years. I believe God is speaking to you to sow a significant atonement seed. Now, if that's you, when you sow a $100 atonement seed or more, I also want you to receive this magnificent, genuine ram's horn shofar. You'll treasure it as a lasting memorial of your obedience to God's command during this most significant atonement season in history. So don't put it off. Not another moment. Write to me today. Dial that toll-free number on your screen or go to rodparsley.com. Do it right now and sow your atonement seed. And believe with me that you're about to enter the greatest season of God's blessing in your lifetime. We're only days away.
I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there.